With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Week 13 Fantasy Impact starts right now, right here on Fantasy Pros. I'm Chris Welsh. That's Scott Bogman. We got Deepak Chona in the house, recapping everything that's going down in week 13. Lots of injuries. But you know what I always say, fellas? Don't make it a good day. Make it a great day. Let's go Niners. Bogman, that doesn't look like a happy 49ers face. Oh, wait. Oh, Debo coming. Debo's coming for you on Friday, Bogman. Let's see a little happy cheer. What are we sad about?
Well, you know what's really fun is when your team is getting smashed by the Cardinals at home, and then you get to wait an extra 2 hours to finish the game because there's a bunch of lightning delays. So
that's true.
That's great. But at least Pickett and TJ Watt got hurt, and Landon Roberts, who is the defensive play caller. So yeah, no, it's going great. So everything's awesome.
All right. Well, I'm doing great. Deepak's doing great. We got everything breaking down for you. I know you guys are doing good out there. We'll be breaking down all the fantasy impact. Lots of injuries, unfortunately. One major crushing blow that we're going to have to deal with. But I am in very good spirits after a dominating win. As you can see, this little helmet right back here.
You guys should have seen the stuff he was sending Joe in the private chat.
Oh, yeah. I want everybody to know. Andrew Erickson's got my back here. Joe went on the tour, the Trash 49ers tour on Fantasy Pros all week, and betting pros, he knew exactly what he was doing, and he set it up all the way to the prop show. And I sent him a couple things, just a little wake up, like, and he sent me a little tweet back. But hey, that's that. Let's get into some stuff and things. We got a winner we're going to be announcing here in a minute, and I'm going to tell you guys about another cool prize that you can win by simply commenting and subscribing here. But let's get into some of the big injuries, because Mr. Deepak Chona, we got a big blow here. We have five big injuries we're looking at on our graphic. If you guys watch us on the YouTube, youtube.com/fantasypros, you can watch us live if you're listening on the podcast. And the first one, we'll kind of come back to in a minute, but Tank Dell suffered a fractured fibula. Season is clearly over. Who cares if he's been placed on the IR? The season's over with an injury like that. And we saw him get carted off, and that was an absolutely crushing blow. So what are the long-term ramifications on Tank Dell here?
Yeah, of course, season ending. Average return is about 4 months, so he should be well past ready to go for the start of next season. And the good news is there's not usually any lingering impact, so dynasty owners can sort of breathe a sigh of relief to a degree. But overall, obviously crushing blow for my Texans.
Boggs, this also, yeah, I know. Oh, I even forgot about that for a minute. That is your team. Yeah. Even Bruce, you see, we got helmets in the background here. You got that Texans helmet in the background. That is pretty crushing. But Bogman, what it does open up is twofold here. We've got Nico Collins, is kind of already
your
like
highs pseudo. Today.
Yeah, he's just like pseudo number one in general, but he's going to be thrust into that number one. And obviously we had seen this uptick with Noah Brown when Nico was out. So what are
Robert
your
Woods
expectations?
Came back.
And Robert Woods. So what are your expectations as far as what these wide receivers become in fantasy without Tank Dell?
Yeah, I think it's still going to be a little spread around. I do think Nico right now, because Schultz was down in this game as well. Brevin Jordan had a couple catches. But yeah, I think Nico's going to get most of this. And then the other guys, you know, you sparse in maybe a touchdown extra between Woods and Noah Brown per game. The way CJ Stroud has been playing has been unbelievable. So weird situation there as running backs, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, getting back into this, Ramondre Stevenson, we lost. He exited with early with an ankle injury. Derek Carr suffered a concussion. Mari Cooper, he left with a head injury, maybe concussion situation. Brian Robinson also exited the game early with a hamstring injury. So Deepak, why don't we go down the list here? Let's start with Ramondre Stevenson. That killed some bets. Andrew Erickson was very upset about this one. We've got Bogman, I have him in some leagues, but how worried are we about this ankle injury with Ramondre?
Yeah, I think there's some degree of worry here in the sense that it looked like a high ankle on the video. Mm-hmm. So he didn't have any fracture, but an MRI tomorrow will probably show a high ankle. The average on those is about 3 to 4 weeks. And then when players come back, as we saw with Saquon and Eckler, it usually takes them some period of ramp up, about 3 weeks, to get back to pre-injury efficiency as well. So a little bit of a downer for Ramondre.
And Boggs, the Patriots look like Iowa in college football. They are just the most inept offense. Ooh. Ezekiel Elliott couldn't get anything going on. They scored no points. I mean, the Chargers beat them 6-0.
Was the last time you saw a 6-0 NFL?
We had the Chargers in Survivor too.
There was a little weather, but like you see a 6-0 when it's like a blizzard in Cleveland between the Browns and the Bills or something.
Are you going to upgrade Elliott though? If Ramondre is going to miss some,
don't don't have any weapons, right? Like they're it's Devontae Parker and you know, when Pop Douglas is up, it's Douglas. But, you know, Juju sucks. The tight ends are not good. They can't figure out the quarterback situation right now, you know? So, yeah, I mean, we saw Zeke get a bunch of carries today and five catches. He's going to be the guy there for the rest of our season. Like Deepak said, 3 to 4 weeks at this point in the year.
But is that an RB2?
Death sentence. I think it could be. You know, it depends on a week-to-week basis. We only have one more bye week next week, and there's only two teams. So he's probably going to ride that borderline, depending on matchup.
Deepak, we got the Derek Carr injury, the Amari Cooper. Why don't you run us through these other three injuries and what level of severity we're looking at?
Sure. So Derek Carr, this is not his first time this season in the concussion protocol. Because of that, even though some players have cleared in just a week, it seems pretty unlikely that he would do so. Still would probably come back the following week. Now, Amari Cooper and actually Derrick Henry as well, they're both likely headed towards concussion protocol. And most players do miss 1 week, but we've seen and we saw today Chris Olave played right after.
More and more of that every week, I feel like.
Right, exactly. And there's not a lot of data on it yet because it's kind of a recent trend, maybe in the past 3 or 4 weeks. So we'll watch this closely. If they log a full practice on Friday, then that usually means they're going to clear and then it's kind of fair game to play them. And then lastly, with Brian Robinson, the average on those is 2 to 3 weeks for running backs. But the severity, as you know, with hamstrings totally varies. So the return timeline for him to practice is really the key here. So probably missing this coming week, but we'll sort of play it by ear after that.
Yeah, and Boggs, I mean, when you're looking at the fantasy impact here, nothing really changes when Jameson is in. If Amari Cooper's missing time, we bump up Eli Moore. Brian Robinson is out. Is that something that you would be actually trusting Antonio Gibson?
No, I mean, Antonio Gibson has gotten more snaps. I mean, maybe he'll get more work instead of like the dirty work stuff now, but they're going to use him and Chris Rodriguez in tandem. So it is a slight bump towards Gibson, but that offense is not clicking right now anyway.
Deepak, last one you mentioned is a smaller version that wasn't on our big graphic. Marquise Brown. Talk to us about Marquise Brown because he left the game.
Yeah, so he had a heel injury coming into the game. He missed practice all week and actually only practiced once the previous week and then re-aggravated it in some way during the game. So most cases that would at least mean missing 1 week. They are, of course, on bye next week. So he has a chance to actually miss no time and come back. But this one's definitely something to keep an eye on after the bye.
We will definitely keep that. Deepak Chona, Sport MD Analysis and SportsMedAnalytics.com. Make sure to go and check out all of his work. One of our favorite people on the planet. Hey, I come on here, smiley face. Bogman's all disappointed. Deepak, you lit up the room. So thank you, my friend. And we will talk to you next week.
No doubt. See you guys.
Thanks.
Want to dominate your fantasy football leagues? Well, then you need My Playbook, available only from Fantasy Pros. Struggling with the waiver wire? My Playbook lets you see who the top available players are week to week. Can't decide who to start? Compare your players side by side with detailed breakdowns and projections for each week of your fantasy season. And it's all included with your premium subscription to Fantasy Pros. So sign up today at fantasypros.com or download our free My Playbook app to your Apple or Android device.
All righty, now that you guys are all here, how about we give something away? How about that? You podcast listeners, you're like, unless you're the winner here and you're listening on that, you're like, why can't I be the winner? You can be the winner. All you have to do is get on the YouTube in the week, make a comment, subscribe, and you could be the winner of what we're giving away right now. Because on the screen, you can see, yes, we had a Jonathan Taylor jersey. The jersey is not on the field, but it'll be in your autograph cave, whatever that is, because the winner of the autographed Jonathan Taylor Colts jersey, courtesy of Betting Pros, is Ritoshi. Ritoshi, please get in touch with our customer support agents at mailbag@fantasypros.com with your mailing address, proof of your subscription to the Fantasy Pros YouTube channel, and we'll be in touch. Again, the winner is Ritoshi. Maybe I said Ritoshi. Ritoshi. Congratulations, my friend. And taking home that Jonathan Taylor jersey is you, but that is not it, because guess what? Next giveaway, cha-ching, in the books. There it is. That's right. You have a chance to win a signed DK Metcalf. How about that
play?
Oh, baby. I know. Huge week. Seattle Seahawks jersey, courtesy of Pristine Auction, the premier autograph sports memorabilia auction house. All you got to do, like I said, subscribe. I mean, it's the easiest thing on the planet. Subscribe, make a comment. That's it. You can win stuff. I love when the winners are in here. I don't know if Ritoshi's in here. We can look, but get the winners in the chat. We bring them up. The winner could easily be you because we'll be announcing it right here on the channel. So turn on the noties so you can know when we got new videos and you can claim your prize. And guess what? If you didn't win Jonathan Taylor, maybe you don't win this upcoming DK Metcalf, you can still sign up over at pristineauction.com using the link in our video description. And if you use the registration code FANTASYPROS, you get $10 off your first order. Win and take home awesome stuff. Why would you not? Let's get into this action here. We are going to be leading up to our Here's to What's Next Miller Lite headline of the day. Our big four headlines. Bogman, why don't you start us off with the quarterback play of the week?
I feel good about these ones this week here.
Oh, like you like what you wrote?
I do. Dangerless Russell Wilson instead of Danger Russell Wilson. He has one 200-yard passing game in his last eight games after having two in his first, I actually think three of his first four, two were 300 yards. So yeah, Russell Wilson has been bad. But if you have Cortland Sutton, all of his yards are going there. So that's great. How about it's Nico time? You remember Reno time from SNL? It's Nico time. Tank Dell, I'm dating myself completely here. But 12 targets, 9 catches, 191, and a score for Tank Dell, or for Nico Collins, as Tank Dell goes down with the fractured fibula. We talked about him. Expect him to get a little bit of a bump. And how about living?
Hold on. No. You're going to do it. You're going crazy.
I'm not going to steer.
No, I wanted to. This is your best one you've wrote yet.
Really?
Yeah, no, this is the best one. I knew you were going to try to zip in because you're zipping through them. I want you to sing this.
I'm not going to. I just said it. Live in La Porta Loca.
Inside, outside.
140 yards and a touchdown. Career highs for Laporta in catches and yards. His first 100-yard game in his rookie season. So, yes, we are all living Laporta Loca here.
That's that one, Bogman. That one I love. All right. Here is to what's next. Our Miller Lite headline of the day. We lived Laporta Loca, but now we're calling the A-Chan man.
The A-Chan man can, because he scores TDs and makes the fantasy football world feel good. 17 for 73, 2 scores, 3 catches for 30, over 100 total yards and 2 scores. Also out-snapped Mostert, a little banged up, but 37 of 61 snaps for A-Chan, 23 of 61 for Mostert. So Devin A-Chan back and making it happen. And I did have him on a bench in the guillotine league, and it probably is going to eliminate me. So,
Oh man. Fantasy Pros makes us do these. So, but you know what? It's worth it. Just like a beautiful Miller Lite, because the Miller Lite in your handfall doesn't just taste great. It tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/fantasypros. That's MillerLite.com/fantasypros, or you can find it pretty much anywhere where you can buy beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces. I mean, we literally have to, like, Bogman is forced into writing these, and then it makes us into giant silly gooses absolutely no reason.
The fact that I have to do these.
Yeah. So. See, I don't know if you guys understand this, because I could see definitely where people are like, oh, you know, like,
I'm not a dad. I don't make dad jokes.
No, but there's going to definitely be someone out there that's like, what is Fantasy Pro? Why are they going to do these? This is how that guy sounds. He's like, why are you going to make these silly things? My enjoyment. Is having to see Bogman write these silly lines and then having to say them publicly, because it is amazing. I have a kid. I have no shame. I have kids. I have no shame. Bogman doesn't. So having to write childish rhymes is like the best thing on the planet. So thank you, Fantasy Pros, for doing that. And thank you to all that laugh along.
Matchup recaps.
Let's break down this slate. We got a lot. I think we actually have less to get to than we have in previous weeks here. But let's kick it off with Houston. Houston did beat Denver. That's why Deepak was in a good mood. They won 22-17. We know that Tank is down, and that's going to kind of be the big headline. But Houston was able to stave off the Broncos, and that's a big key. So what fantasy things do we want to highlight out of this bad boy?
Well, outside of Tank going down and that being stinky, the weird running back usage again. Maybe we're back to Pierce in Houston. He had 15 carries for 41 yards and a score. Singletary only had 9 touches, 8 for 36 and 1 catch for 40 yards. Singletary still did outsnap Pierce, 31 to 26 out of 68 snaps here. But I am curious to see how this goes. It sucks. I mean, they got up and they were up by a decent amount. So maybe that's why we saw Pierce getting more carries, because he hasn't had a lot of work recently. Maybe that was part of it. I'm not sure. But that score early was from Pierce. So I don't really like what I'm seeing there. So, and Singletary's hosing me in that
game. Well, I think one of the big things here is Singletary went from like, hey, we're starting to trust it, to like, oh no, we're done with that now, because it might go back to Singletary, but we've now entered that realm of like, oh, these guys won't be trustable because we'll make the wrong decision. And this is against the team that you could run on the Broncos.
Yeah. The worst run D in the league. Statistically, even in their good little run, they're still giving up over 150 yards per week. So yeah, Singletary, huge disappointment this week. We'll see what happens. Stroud was great, 274 and a score. Brevin Jordan, like I said, filled in for Schultz. He had three for 64, but him and Nico Collins were the only two Texans with over one catch. So just crazy. Not a lot going on there. Russell Wilson, like I said, 186 yards and three picks, had a chance to win it, and did still score Sutton. He had two catches for 77 and a touchdown, and he scored in six of his last seven games. So like I said, even though I am going to hammer on Russell Wilson for being bad, which he is, Courtland Sutton is still going. Even in his only two catches, he scored. So that was nice. Judy, 3 for 51. Javonte, only other player outside of Sutton and Judy, over 12 yards receiving on that team. So just, Sutton is like the only guy you trust in Denver outside of Javonte right now. And it's Nico Collins and Stroud, and we're wavering on these running backs in Houston now. So it's supposed to get better late in the season, and it is getting worse in some spots.
Yeah, I'm going to speculate again on Noah Brown, maybe him getting back, but we'll see. It might just simply be Nico with just a spattering of different guys, but I don't know. I thought Noah Brown was kind of interesting.
Someone said he might have left at the end of the game. I didn't see that, but if he did, it was late because he played 55 of 61 snaps.
Houston has got the Jets coming up, so... Jets defensively, not offensively. And Denver has got the Chargers. So that's going to be a good division matchup coming up here. Friends, I know you guys know that it's crazy where we are in this season. We are almost into the fantasy playoffs. We are deep into the NFL season. And that's why we have to make every second count. And we could do that with DraftKings Sportsbook, where you can make the most of every game day. Bet on your favorite teams for a shot at winning big bucks. New customers, you can score 150 instantly in bonus bets for betting $5 on each matchup. What you got to do is go and download the app now and use code FANTASYPROS. They're the official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers, you can score 150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on the NFL, only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code FANTASYPROS. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas. Licensee partner Golden Nugget Lake Charles, Louisiana. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This was a Thursday night game. I just hope everybody understands this. This was a Thursday night game that was played on Sunday morning. The Chargers beat the Patriots 6-0. One of my bet, I don't know if you remember this, we were doing on the Bet This League show. One of my number one bets this week was Chargers under, Chargers New England under. Little did I know, every single bet you could have possibly put together, quarters, halves, second half, first half, didn't matter. Everything hit because this was an insanely bad game. And you know what? Hat tip, if you guys paid attention on the streams we do here on Sunday, we've got the morning streams, we got the mid stuff, and during the week, there's a pretty big conversation around Austin Eckler being a benchable piece this week. And Pat Fitzmaurice and Joe Pizzapia on the first hour of the morning stream talked about that kind of at length, that, hey, listen, not only is Eckler way lower in the ranks and what's being seen on consensus, but he is a viable sit, and he kind of proved to be Boggs.
Yeah, he was awful. I mean, we have our sheet, and it just says fantasy takeaway for me to start at the beginning. And I just wrote LOL. No. I mean, this game, Eckler, 14 carries, 18 yards, two catches for 9. Josh Kelly, though, 16 yards rushing and 9 receiving. So no one was getting any work done against this Patriots front, who, obviously they are taking it among themselves to be the leader of this team because they got nothing on offense. He literally scored 0 points, but which is nice, but I don't know if it's going to work this way every week. Herbert, 212 in negative rushing yards. Keenan Allen, 58 receiving yards. Quentin Johnson did have the most receiving yards he's had in a game this season at 52. Ooh. That was like the positive in this game. Like we said before, obviously with Ramondre going down, Zeke looked good. 17 carries for 52 yards and 4 catches for 40. But 4 for 64 for Parker, but sometimes it's Parker. Sometimes
but Parker's had 9 targets in there. Back. I just want to throw that out because Demario Douglas was inactive with a concussion. He didn't play in this one. And Parker kind of ended up getting that role. Be interesting to see. I mean, they can't pass the ball successfully, but like there might just always be, it's the one receiver. And that's well, likely is what it is. And it's Demario if healthy, and if not, it's Devontae Parker.
Well, I mean, look, the good thing for the Patriots wide receivers, if there is a good thing, is that Joey Porter played his worst game. So he is, Joey Porter is the number one rated corner, according to PFF, in the league right now. But he did have a bad game against Arizona. So I don't know if he is getting worn down at the end of the season or anything. So maybe there's something there. But if Pop Douglas comes back, that is probably better for Parker because I think Joey would be on Pop. So we'll see.
Yeah, you're talking about that because New England is playing Pittsburgh on Thursday Night Football. Yeah. And Denver has got the Chargers for week 14. All right, going over to Detroit, who was able to hold off the Saints, ended up putting up a bunch of points. I think a 61-point score. Detroit won 33-28. Kind of all over the place as far as the offensive weapons go. The car injury, I don't know. The Saints ended up being weird. We saw like absolutely no Juwan Johnson. We saw tons of Taysom Hill. Olave was going, but it was so weird that they were in it like they were. But where's our fantasy takeaways on Detroit and New Orleans?
This game started 21-0, and I was feeling so smart, like a smug genius.
Yeah, because Bogman's like, -4, Detroit's the best bet of the week, and you were just living the high life.
I was at 21-0, and then it was like, all right, and then the Saints score. And the Saints score again, and Detroit's doing nothing. I'm like, what is happening? And the weirdest thing in this game, outside of New Orleans making a valiant comeback, which of course fell short and they lost by 5, and I am a genius, but Montgomery, 18 rushes for 56 yards and a touchdown, had 36 snaps of 58. Gibbs, who dominated last week in snaps and touches, 8 for 60, negative receiving yards, and only played 26 of 58 snaps. Now, I will say the game flow definitely had something to do with this. If you're the Lions and you get up big, you want to sit on that lead. You give it to your hulking back, your bruiser, and that is Montgomery between him and Gibbs. So I think that's what this game was all about. So I'm not too worried about Gibbs, but it is interesting that as this game moved forward, they didn't go back to Gibbs because Gibbs had like a huge play in the first quarter that almost scored. So just very, very strange usage of the running backs here after we kind of thought what we knew was happening. Olave had the 5 for 119. No one else had more than 2 catches or 30 yards outside of Kamara for them. Carr obviously left and Winston came in. We'll see what happens with that, but I feel like that's a weekly thing with Carr. And yeah. Taysom Hill had 13 carries for 59 yards and a score, as you mentioned before. A lot of him and Kamara went over 100 total, which was nice. Our boy Mendy won a bunch of money. I don't know if you saw
that. I saw what he won. He won like
11K.
I was about to say like 5 digits on, and I think there was like something in this game had to do with it.
It was Kamara. It was the over 100 total for Kamara. So, so that it was a weird game, but I mean, you're trusting Olave, you're trusting Kamara. At tight end, Taysom is hit or miss, but when he hits, he's big. So
you know what? You say he's hit or miss, but like the usage is going up.
He had 2 weeks in there where it was like 2 for 15 and 2 for 10.
But like what, recently?
Yeah, he bottoms out is the issue with Taysom Hill. So, but I mean, when they give him touches, they give him touches. And he's used around the goal line a lot, Wildcat and all that stuff. So I like Taysom, but he does occasionally bottom out.
Yeah, I guess this isn't showing me the receiving side, but he's received at least 7 carries.
I mean, he had the 7
carries catches in 4 of 5 weeks. 4 of 5 weeks, he's had at least 7 carries.
Okay, but the
carries
week before, he had 1 rush for 6 yards and no catches, and he had 7 carries for 26 against Atlanta. That was and before that, he had 11 for 52.
Yeah, I'm not making a case that like, okay, yeah, the 7 for 26, that's fine. But my case is like the touches. If Taysom Hill is dangerous when he gets touches and they get into the red zone, they want to try to get him the ball. I don't care. I'm done with like, oh, you know, he's kind of hit or miss anymore. you just start him every single week. That's in my mind. It's like there's no question about it. Okay, if you don't have Trey McBride, if you have Trey McBride, you start him over. But you don't think Taysom Hill is a top 12 tight end?
Probably. You definitely average the top 12 tight end. But all I'm saying is that he is hit or miss. When he doesn't score and get a bunch of carries, it's usually like 4 points. It's just annoying. So he's Deshaun Jackson, a tight end. That's what he is. So
I suppose he on boom the season, not counting this week, whether you call him boom or bust or not, he's the 7th highest scoring tight end in half PPR without counting this week with those boom or bust weeks. So, I mean, I see them. I see there's a 0.9 and a 0 and there's a 2. So you're not wrong about it. But at the same
neither
time,
are you. Neither the one bottom, of us is wrong.
The bottom of tight end is like, okay, sure, when you have Jake Ferguson and Laporta and stuff, that's one thing. But if you're not swimming with those dudes, I'm going to take Taysom Hill because this is probably going to move. This will move him up to, I think, the 6th scoring tight end on the year. My case is just,
I mean, McBride was great too this week. Like there's other guys emerging here as well late in the season. So, you know, Taysom Hill is a very good option to have, but when he doesn't hit, he misses big and that hurts, especially, you know, in the playoffs when you need your points. So,
yeah. And if you have a trustworthy guy, then you should go. Carolina is going up against New Orleans. Carolina actually was stopping the run, by the way, in this game up until that last carry. We hit the Rashad though. And Detroit has got Chicago. Your game up here. The Arizona Cardinals beat the Pittsburgh Steelers.
24-10.
24-10 after delays. There were like two delays. It was crazy.
Lightning delays.
Yeah, it was really annoying. And I don't know. It caused some chaos in the game. I hit some bets with Najee. I did not hit my Pat Freiermuth bet, which I talked about on Fantasy or Betting Pros, 3 yards short. And Kenny Pickett got knocked out of the game. But we saw a lot of Najee, which was my prediction. And you know, a funny thing that happened in the betting market, which also was talking about the usage, to start the week, Jaylen Warren was projected more yards and more carries than Najee. And then that flipped right before game time. Najee ended up really pushing up and we saw a decent amount of him, but it didn't matter because they stunk.
No, I mean, Pickett went down and it was just like, it was a bad game. There were a lot of penalties on the Steelers. Yeah, there are penalties on the Cardinals too, but and then they just couldn't stop James Conner. James Conner was great. 25 carries against his old team here, 105-2, total revenge game. Didn't catch a ball out of the backfield, by the way. Murray only had 13 completions. And it was like the completions that Murray had were like fingertip catches, like every possible thing that could go right for that offense went right outside of penalties for them. They probably should have had a better game. But we mentioned before, Trey McBride, huge game, 9 targets, 8 catches, 89, and a score. Nobody else really did anything. Greg Dortch had a big catch down at the end, 1 for 19. But this was McBride and Connor and Murray running around. That was everything for the Cardinals. The Steelers are still kind of, you know, splitting. Najee is getting more, 16 rushes for 63 and 2 catches for 14. Jaylen Warren only had 9, but had 59 yards. So obviously more explosive, only the 1 catch, but I mean, Trubisky looked bad. And I have said before that I don't think there's a big difference between Pickett and Trubisky. Maybe there is now. Yeah. I don't know, because Trubisky, I don't know if it's rust from him or that maybe Pickett's looking a little better, but he looked terrible. And maybe this week will be better if he practices with the ones he should be starting. But yeah, I mean, Pickens looked good. They wanted to get him the ball earlier. Tiante scored a touchdown to make the Steelers only down 14 and then did the biggest ridiculous celebration I've ever seen in my life after it. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what to expect against New England with this offense because Trubisky looked bad.
Yeah, I've got some pretty low expectations because they stopped the Chargers and the Steelers offense looks really bad right now. And if Trubisky is behind it, it's going to be really bad. I think there's going to be it's going to be really difficult to trust any of the Steelers, if we're being honest, moving forward into at least that game. And the Cardinals might get overinflated. Trey McBride is the most trustworthy of any of them. Kyler's fine, and James Conner had a really good day. We'll see if that continues.
The Cardinals are on a bye. So
Okay, so we don't have to worry about them next week. So then perfect. Here's a quick break in the action, because we talk a lot about what makes winners on this show, and there's one thing that all teams, coaches, and players have in common: preparation. Planning is key in everyday life too, and a great way to be prepared for the unexpected is to join AirMedCare Network, America's largest air ambulance membership network. AirMedCare Network providers operate state-of-the-art helicopters that can respond to critically ill or injured patients who need emergency medical transport. These flights can be very expensive. But as an AirMedCare Network member, you won't see a bill for your flight only when flown by one of their providers. That's right, you'd pay nothing. You can become a member of AirMedCare Network for just $99 per year. And right now, our listeners get up to an $80 MasterCard or Amazon e-gift card when they join and use offer code FANTASYPROS. That's FANTASYPROS with no spaces. Make financial peace of mind part of your game plan. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/FANTASYPROS. Atlanta, they beat the Jets 13-8. Is another LOL situation, though. I will, of course, give myself more credit because I'm betting pros. I went out on a limb and I said, when Bijan Robinson hits his receiving prop, he goes over 25 yards. His receiving prop was 17. I said, nay, sir, we're going alt 25, and it cashed because he was 3 for 26. So I feel very good about that one. Can't feel good about all of them, but that one did cash. But this game, that's why I'm excited about this, because what else were you going to feel good about in this game? Breece Hall played great. He caught some balls and blah, blah, blah. This game was awful. Desmond Ridder is still the most it is so insane, the confidence that has been put into him. He's so bad. And it's like Spider-Man meme on the other side, whoever is behind center with the Jets. This is awful game of awful.
So Kyle Pitts had 4 for 51 this week. How many 50-yard games do you think he has this season?
I think that was his second.
Third.
Oh, okay.
Third. Terrible. I think
at least they threw a tight end. At least they threw a touchdown to the third tight end.
Pruitt. He has two games of more than five catches this season. I mean, it is just pathetic in Atlanta. Ridder is bad. Algier only had 8 carries. Drake London had 1 catch for 8 yards, dude. Like, the Jets defense is still really good. Tim Boyle got benched. Trevor Siemian comes in. Yeah. I mean, Gibson had 5 catches for 77 yards. I mean, maybe because him and Trevor Siemian worked on the practice squad so long together. I have no idea. But yeah, I mean, the Jets are just tough. They're a tough start. Anyone for them right now, even Breece is tough. So Breece versus Eckler to the end of the year might be interesting. I trust Breece way more, but that offense for the Chargers is so much better. And it's not good, but it's so much better than the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, I trust there's going to be carries. They've got Houston next week, but I just don't see where anything really changes, because Garrett Wilson's going to be on lockdown with Stingley. So I don't feel really good about that one. And you just have to feel mildly okay with the Atlanta situation. Like Bijan, great. He got 20 plus touches, but it was just around 80 yards. Like, you just want that usage to stick. They've got Tampa Bay next week, which you were able to this week, but you can't run against Tampa Bay except in this situation. I thoroughly expect to go Bijan Robinson receiving yards again and hope he is involved more in that, but bad game. Indianapolis beat Tennessee 31-28 in overtime. This was another one of those wacky ones. Just a lot of weird play. Josh Downs completely disappeared. We saw Alec Pierce get heavily involved in this one, and this went into some bad overtime play. But a lot of fantasy stuff out of this, because if Henry is out, Tajay Spears is going to be a heavy pickup to look at. He is an explosive back.
Yeah, I mean, 16 carries in this game, 75 yards, also 4 catches for 13. And this is a guy that did it at Tulane. He was their offense. So he can carry a full workload. He's a smaller back, so you don't want to give him that you don't want to give him Derrick Henry style runs. They're not going to be running Wildcat, I don't think, with Tajay Spears back there like they do with Derrick Henry, because, I mean, their Wildcat is like Derrick Henry just runs over guys. So we'll see what happens there. But Minshew was good, 312 and 2 touchdowns. He did lose a fumble. But Pittman, 16 targets, 11 catches, 105 yards. He's had 12 plus targets in 3 straight games and at least 8 catches in 5 straight games. He has been on absolute fire. Michael Pittman has Pierce, 6 for 3 catches for 100 yards and a score. Granson, who we had to pick up today, 3 for 72, and Downs, 5 for 13. Moss was okay. He had a lot of carries, which is nice to see. 21 touches in this game, 19 carries, only 57 yards, though. I do believe that will improve soon. Hopkins, 12 targets, but only 5 catches. I mean, Will Levis is rough. 5 for 75 and a score. 5th touchdown of the season. He has 2 TDs in the last 3 weeks after having 3 against Atlanta on October 29th and no other touchdowns this season. So at least Levis and Hopkins are kind of working a little better together. Okonkwo had 3 for 62. I think that's 2 okay games in a row for Okonkwo. So he's been dropped in a lot of spots. If you're tight end desperate, he's an option. But Spears was the only other tight end outside of Hopkins and Chig with more than one catch. So just not a lot there for the pass catchers in Tennessee.
You know, and to add to Moss, we also got news here on Sunday that the report is that Jonathan Taylor's injury looks a little bit more severe in the time span, that it's going to be 3 to 5 weeks now, which pretty much takes him out for the season. Obviously, if he were to go 4 weeks, he'd return the final week. And I had said, hey, listen, if you got an injury issue and you needed spots or something, like if you didn't have the injury, you could probably cut him. You could move on from Jonathan Taylor. Interesting. Also, Moss was the number one projected early week rushing yard prop. He had the highest rushing yard prop and it kept going up. I think that ended up surpassed when everybody came, but he didn't come close to hitting that. He missed that by quite a margin. Fellas, it is football season and you can now get almost anything you need for game day delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Can Uber Eats deliver foam fingers? No. But chicken fingers? Yes. Touchdown dances? No. Buttermilk ranches? Yes. Field goals? No. Grilling coals? Yes. Running backs? No. Ribs? Yes. How about blitz? No. But beers? Yes. Defense? No. Deodorant? Yes. Game clinching turnovers? No. But pastry turnovers? You know, the kind with delicious apple filling? Oh, yeah. Because that's groceries. And get those delivered with Uber Eats, too, along with food from your favorite restaurants and other essentials. And the best part? You can get it all without missing a second of the action on your TV. There you have it. Get almost anything for game day delivered with Uber Eats, official on-demand football delivery partner of the NFL. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details. Let's go see Miami. Miami 45, Washington 15. I have decided this. I will no longer question any running back ever coming off of injury. This is 2 straight weeks where I'm like a little bit like tippy toe. I'm like, I don't know, like HN, like, you know, they got Mostert and, you know, he was a little bit questionable.
Yeah, but don't question it. The guy you put in gets 5 carries.
I'm done questioning it. So HN over every single player on the planet. You know what a really good one is rest of season? Eckler or HN?
No, it's not HN.
I think it is. Oh, I know it is HN. Well, okay. Then I thought it was better. So because it is HN, but I guess you scoff at me, sir.
Well, I mean, Miami, we're talking about how Eckler is a viable sit.
I'm just saying Eckler and name that Eckler was still ranked like top name 5 in Fantasy Pros consensus ranks. People still from a mindset perspective are on Eckler. HN absolutely delivered coming back from injury. Did nothing to worry about. Apparently silly me. He scored 2 touchdowns and Tyreek Hill is just the most exciting player in the NFL.
He might be just for his position. He might be the best player in the NFL. He is absurd.
Yeah. Christian McCaffrey. But yeah.
8th game over 100 receiving yards, 4 over 150 for Tyreek Hill this season. It's just nuts. Tua, 280 and 2. Waddle had 52. HN and Hill were the only other Dolphins besides Tyreek over 30 catches or 30 yards. Mostert, who was a little nicked up coming into this, still had 12 touches and 50 yards and got a score like he always does. Howell had 2 rushing touchdowns. That saved him. But, this was a rough day for Washington's offense. This is Jekyll and Howell at its peak. Curtis Samuel 4 for 65, Dotson 2 for 23, no catches for McLaurin. Brian Robinson left with the injury. Gibson had 14 touches and just over 70 yards. I don't know, man. It was a weird game here. By the way, you see there's 2 Monday night games next week.
I saw that you wrote that in. I didn't know. So
I didn't know until I was looking at it either. I'm sure it's something I read in the offseason, but I did not remember.
Did we get rid of Thursday night football to do it?
No, we didn't. That's the Steelers and the Patriots. But it's the Packers and Giants early. Or I guess they're starting at the same time. Packers at Giants and then Titans at Dolphins.
So. All right. We've got, Tennessee is at Miami in that Monday night late game for week 14. All right. We got a couple games on the late slate here. Tampa, they held off Carolina 21-18, saving us in the Survivor. And I just want to point this out. Rashad White, I was just blah, blah, blah about Rashad White this week. I got the rushing yard prop on the last run of the game where he slowed down because they had locked that bad boy up. Mike Evans was incredible in this one. So this was actually a pretty heavy bet game from the betting pros perspective. Erickson and I had a lot of stuff going on with it, but Tampa Bay held out, even though Baker Mayfield, He is Desmond Ridder-like.
Dude, Baker Mayfield is not 100%. He might be at like 60%. He has taken so many hits, and it's not just taking sacks. It's the scrambles when he can't find anybody and he gets hit going out of bounds. Like, he, like Lamar Jackson, I remember the first year he came in, they looked and it was like Lamar actually took, for all the running he did, he took less hits than most quarterbacks because he stepped out of bounds. He avoided pressure. He didn't get hit. Baker Mayfield is whatever the opposite of that is. Like, he gets hit all the time, so he's not playing at 100%. But like you said, Mike Evans, 12 for 7, 162 yards and a touchdown. A 75-yard touchdown was the longest play of the Bucs season, the broadcast said. So that was huge. Godwin scored on a reverse, but no, he really didn't have one catch. My God. One run for 19 yards.
They talked about it a lot in the game, by the way, about where the lack of usage was with Godwin and them trying to get the ball.
It's been bad for a couple
weeks. It was a big Baker problem.
Yeah. I mean, just put Trask in. You know, this is the first game that he's had no targets, or three targets and no catches. In every single other game this season, he had at least three catches. So, very weird game against Carolina. They can't get him the ball. The Panthers, we thought, hey, maybe they go back to Miles Sanders. Frank Reich just got fired. 25 carries for Chuba Hubbard, 104 in his first multi-touchdown game of his career with two. 8 for 23 for Miles Sanders, one catch for 6 yards, and 178 yards for Bryce. They looked a little better. Carolina did. Mingo had 10 targets and 6 catches. That was nice, but it cost us Thielen. 6 targets for 3 catches and 25 yards. DJ Chark, 3 catches for 56. So a little bit better, but they're not going to improve enough to be viable by the end of the season here.
I do not think so. We got the Rams who beat the Browns 36-19. The Browns that were led by Joe Flacco. It's not
Joe Flacco
10 years ago. It's crazy. Cooper Kupp saved the day, but does not look right. It is not the Cooper Kupp that we thought. And Kyren Williams was saved also by that late touchdown from everybody screaming about Kyren. He kind of upheld that value by that touchdown. But that's what great players do. They find ways to score. And to the credit of Kupp as well, like, this is getting pretty brutal with Kupp, I think. And maybe this has already been established by most people. But, like, we kind of are in, like, it is Puka over Kupp every single week. There's no reason to feel. And I know that that's still floating for people. But it is, like, affirmative, like, Puka over him until we've shown otherwise and he's healthy again.
Puka left this game and came back and still had more yards than Kupp, and he had a 45 yarder called back on a terrible missed penalty. They called a hold on DeMarcus Robinson. It's kind of a little of a pick play. I would have called illegal contact instead, but and Nacua brought it down 45 yards and they called that all back. So, he had 34 yards rushing as well in this game. Just a great game from Nacua. Kyren is awesome. And look, Stafford is looking better and better every week. But I tell you what, Joe Flacco didn't look bad. 44 pass attempts, 254 yards, 2 scores. At least if Cooper comes back and is healthy, at least we know that Flacco can get the ball to Eli Moore. 12 targets, only 4 catches and 83 yards. But this is going to get better as the week goes on. Harrison Bryant, 5 for 49 and a score. 4 looked bad. Kareem Hunt had more carries in this game for whatever reason. I'm interested to see what that is. But we were starting the show as soon as the game was wrapping up. But yeah, I don't know. Flacco at least makes the Browns offense a little doable. And I think he'll be starting next week as well.
Yeah, and I think Eli Moore, we're going to vault up just a tiny bit. This game actually has just like a lot of like confusing things that are going on. So what's a transition? That's right. The autopilot. Don't let confusion set into your fantasy lineups in the most important time of the year with the playoffs. The autopilot tool going to give you suggested lineup changes. It'll auto swap inactive players. You can do a full optimized lineup set every single week with the full autopilot mode. Check out all the great features with autopilot at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. Also some great deals right now on the premium tools. So go and check all of that out. Get set up today and don't let those Cooper Kupp or Jerome Ford or Eli Moore situations fool you. And if Mari Cooper's out, Elijah Moore goes up. All right, last game. Finish it off with, San Francisco 49ers. Absolute dominant fest here. The first two drives were awful. The 49ers then literally never took their foot off the gas, winning 42-19 against the Philadelphia Eagles. Christian McCaffrey was able to do his business. And Debo's coming. Debo scored three touchdowns in an absolutely monster game, and the 49ers really established themselves for dummies like Joe, who are out there screaming about how not good they are. I love you, Joe.
Look, that's funny. I also picked the Eagles.
Oh, yeah, you're the dummy, too. I forgot you were the under dummy.
Yeah, but what I said,
the Eagles plus three.
What I said, though, was this game was going to go one way or the other, because if the Eagles can pressure the Niners, then they're going to look like they did before. Going into the bye week, they didn't. Only two sacks on Purdy, and he picked them apart. If you don't put pressure, if the Eagles don't get pressure, the back end of the secondary is so bad, they don't have a chance. And that's exactly what happened in this game. McCaffrey, like you said, over it was 133 yards in a score. Debo had the three. Kittle even had 68. Ayuk saved himself with the score. So it was great there. The Eagles side, Jalen Hurts left, got evaluated for a concussion, came back. He was okay, which I think is the second or third time that's happened to him this year, by the way. He takes a lot of hits. But 7 for 20 and 1 on the ground, 298 and a score. But DeAndre Swift, 6 for 13 and 2 catches for 7 yards. They shut down the run game.
Monster hit at the end of the game, too. Listen, those wide receivers, they did exactly what they needed against the Niners. This could have gone the other way. As much as I'm a 49er homer and blah, 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 the Niners played horrific. The
Niners secondary isn't good either, but it's better than the Eagles, and they have the same better pass rush than the Eagles right now. So A.J. Brown, 8 for 114, 9 for 96, and a score for the Slim Reaper, Devontae Smith.
Still good.
Nobody else really did anything here. So, it was a butt kicking for your Niners. Bang, bang, Niner gang.
Yeah. I do think Devontae Smith is one of the most underrated players in the NFL. I truly do, from a fantasy perspective as well.
Won the Heisman as a wide receiver, and he doesn't get a lot of respect.
He still doesn't. He is absolutely amazing. And that is it. We got Packers and Chiefs going on live as we are doing this show. You podcast listeners already know what has happened. Thank you guys for hanging out with us as you do. And I hope, if you've never done it before, consider before the end of the year coming and hanging out with us live, youtube.com/fantasypros. After the afternoon games, before the Sunday night game, we go live, we talk through all of this stuff here, and then it gets thrown over to the podcast. And then same thing, no harm in any of you live listeners on the YouTube side, go download the podcast 300 or 400 times and listen to the show over and over and over. We also got you hooked up. If you guys want your chance to win that DK Metcalf autographed jersey, just come over to the YouTube channel. If you are listening on the pod, subscribe, make a comment throughout the week, and you will have an opportunity to win that bad boy. I'd love for you guys to win some cool stuff. You can find Bogman on Twitter at Bogman Sports. Find me at Is It the Welsh Schedule. As usual this week, Bogman is now the regular on the Thursday sideshow, the Best Bet Game Show, and I am on the props on Friday. If you guys want to hang out with us, we'd love to have you there. Otherwise, let's get going. We got our final week before the playoffs, so it is crunch time, baby. Thank you guys all for hanging out with us on this week 13 recap. For Bogman, I'm Welsh. It's Fantasy Pros, and don't make it a good day, make it a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Fantasy Football Podcast. If you love the show, the best free way to support us is by leaving a positive review on Apple Podcasts at fantasypros.com/review or on Spotify. Follow us on X, Instagram, and TikTok at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.